See you today. My scripture reading today is in 1 Corinthians 10 and starting at verse 6. Now these things happen as an example for us so that we would not crave evil things as they also crave. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and stood up to play. Nor let us act immorally, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in one day. Nor let us try the Lord, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the serpents. Nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. No temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for these wonderful words of encouragement. Heavenly Father, we ask the help of your Holy Spirit in leading and guiding our lives so that it will be more acceptable to you and more like you. And Heavenly Father, bless the remainder of this service and each thing that's done. Let it be to your praise and glory. In Yeshua's name we ask, and amen. My message to you today, I've given the title, Defeat Temptation. These words that we read in our scripture reading, and I don't know if I, maybe I didn't call out my text, but my text is 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, which says, no temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. So my message, defeat temptation. And you know, those are only two words, but that is tremendously hard for human beings to accomplish. Defeating temptation, because it is so natural and human for us to be tempted in so many varied ways. Why does temptation trouble us all? When you really think about the scheme of everything overall, you come to know that there is a great tempter that we can blame most of this on. I say most because I'm not going to leave out the possibility that some things that we do, we make the decisions on ourselves, and we can cause it. But the greatest of the tempters is Satan, the devil. We are all targets of the tempter. And every one of us, perhaps even on a daily basis, we're going to see what it's like to be tempted. We are going to be tempted. And I don't know if you noticed in our Torah portion today, but part of it had to do with wearing the little reminders on our garments. And those little things that we wear on our clothing, for sure, is so that we will see those little things and know that the reason we have them on our garment is to remind us of God's laws and what it takes to please Him and for us to want to be obedient to Him. And we want to be the right kind of servants to Him. So we are all targets of the tempter. It's almost as if you are wearing a target on your front side or your backside, and someone has an arrow aimed right at it. And that person, being the being that has that you as a target, is Satan the devil. Satan the devil, the Word lets us know that he is the destroyer. He wants to destroy the work of the Heavenly Father. And anything that he can do to disrupt, to tempt, to cause to possibly fail, falter, that's what he wants to do. He wants to, if at all possible, cause everything good that the Father would have for us as an individual, for us as a church, an assembly. If at all possible, Satan wants to cause problems. Satan wants to destroy. And it's very natural for us all to feel the lure of the world. And by that I mean the human side of you, what it is that you're thinking of, what it is that you wish for. Satan tries to work in every bit of that in a negative way as far as you and your relationship with the Creator, with our Heavenly Father, Yahweh. And all of us experience and will continue to experience the temptations of the appetites, if we want to call it that, the desires of the flesh. What we say that it takes to satisfy us from a mental standpoint, from a physical standpoint, what it takes. And Satan the devil is going to use every bit of that as often as he can to distort in perhaps the intentions that we don't have in mind. He's going to try to cause it to look to our negative side. But there is a text to bring victory to the tempter, to the ones that is tempted. And this text that is intended to bring victory to all those that are tempted, which we all are, it is that text that I brought to you today of how to defeat temptation. Who is the tempter that we face? Let's learn a little bit more about him. The tempter is our adversary, the one that's working against us. Our enemy is the tempter that we face. Let's look at 1 Peter 5 and 8. And we'll go through some scriptures and thoughts on this. 1 Peter 5 and 8, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Notice how Satan is compared to a lion, constantly wanting to catch his prey, kill and destroy, seeking victims, compared to a lion, Satan, the tempter, is. Satan is the source of temptation. Do you remember from the very start in the Garden of Eden, there came about a point in time in which the first creations of God, the first man and woman, were tempted by the great tempter. And Satan was this source, and he worked through the snake, emblematic of Satan. In saying the words that perhaps made the first woman Eve, perhaps second guess, Satan himself said, "Did God really say that?" Satan was implying that God might not have meant what he said, or that something else was implied. He spoke about death. Does God really mean that if you take a bite of this that he has forbidden for you to take, that you will die? And Satan says immediately, "No, God didn't mean that." But we find out when we read the whole story, we find out that that is exactly what happened. It might not have been instantaneous, but it started the process. And it ushered in the death penalty for disobedience to God. So the first of temptation happened at the very beginning, not long after the very beginning, in the Garden of Eden, that you can read about in Genesis 3. Do you also know that even God's only begotten Son, Yeshua, even he was tempted by the devil? And we read about that in Matthew 4. And the bottom line is that Satan, the devil, tried to offer Yeshua, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, everything imaginable that would be a temptation to a normal human being. Power, glory, all that you could possibly imagine. Satan told Yeshua if he would bow down and worship him, then Satan the devil would give this or do this for Yeshua. But notice that Yeshua only came back in response to the devil and the suggestions made by him. He only came back with, "The Word says, God says," and this is how he replied to Satan in regard to his temptation. And we should learn from that, is that when Satan comes against us with all of the different varied ways that he can come, think of what God says. Think about the Word of God, and that how it would let you immediately know what your response should be to the suggestion that Satan has put in your mind. And so confront Satan with that, just as Yeshua did. And if it gets bad enough, do just like Yeshua did to Satan and say, "Go, Satan, get out of my face, get away from me, I serve the one and only living God. And His Word is all that I'm going to focus on in my life. So Satan is that adversary. He is as a roaring lion. He continually seeks victims. He is the source of every temptation that we have. He was at the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, and he did cause them to falter. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 11 and 3, and we'll see some other traits and characteristics of the great tempter. And this is 2 Corinthians 11 and 3. But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. We have to keep our hearts and mind focused on the good things of God and on pleasing Him, and turn off the suggestions of the tempter. Turn off what those things that enter our mind that the tempter no doubt is helping to bring. Say no to it. The tempter is also not only a deceiver, but he is also a liar. Let's look at John 8 and 44. John 8 and 44. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature. For he is a liar and the father of lies. I don't think anything can be expressed any more clearer than that. The greatest of tempter, Satan the devil, is a liar. He's a deceiver. He's a tempter. He seeks whatever and whoever that he can to interrupt with God's intentions for the person, for the good of the person. And you know, we are given all that we need to be able to defeat the tempter, to win over this powerful enemy. Let's look at 1 John 4 and 4. 1 John 4 and 4. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. The last part of that. Greater is he that is in you as a child of God than he that is in the world. And of course, that's a prince of the air that is speaking of. God is greater than Satan. In a way of speaking, Satan can't even hold a candle to our Father. Our Father loves us. He wants the very best for us. He's looking out for us if we are really His children. And we're staying in His will and in His way and in His truth, then He's protecting us. And in a sense, we could even think of Job and how Yahweh had a hedge of protection around him. And you can know and be assured that if you are a child of God, and I think you know all of the ways that let you know for certain that you are a child of God, then you can be assured that He has a type of hedge around you. He's looking out for you. He is as if your earthly father would want the very best for you and would protect you. That's how the Father in heaven is to you. We are equipped to win this battle, to defeat the tempter, because He has given us a gift. He's given several gifts, but He's given a very powerful gift in the Holy Spirit. And all you have to do is accept the gift. Let the Father know you want the gift. He freely gives. He will not withhold. So accept the gift. The Holy Spirit is greater in power than any foe that would ever come against us. Let's look at how the Lord is faithful. All of His Word let us know that He, of all ones in our life, that He has our best interest in mind, and that He will always be there through everything that we face, and He is faithful in that regard. And God limits temptation to such as is common to man. You know how that text reads? It's a lot in that one verse there. And we're going to look at some of the ideas that's in that one verse of my text. God limits how you can be tempted, and only He limits it to such as is common to man. How are you tempted? Well, you can be tempted with money. You can be tempted with power. You can be tempted with lust. It's so many ways that's common to man, but God limits Satan and to those things that is common to man. And of course, all of this is in that text, that verse 13 of my scripture reading. Satan is allowed no untried enticements. The world is allowed no untried allurements. The flesh is allowed no unexperienced cravings. You might say that seems a little incredible, but you just think of what all is in the Word of God and how God instructs us in so many varied, different and varied things that we could say is things that we might desire or fleshly kind of things. We need to know that we're not the only ones in this situation. That God's Word lets us know that many have been in the same situation and have been tempted as we are today. Think of the good King David and how he come to be, even after the Word lets us know that he had a heart that was acceptable to God, like God, then he becomes tempted. And some have been tempted and they lost the battle. They yielded to the temptation. And then others have won that temptation battle. And we need to know that with these scripture reading and with this text that I'm bringing to you, it lets you know beyond any doubt that you can defeat temptation. You can win. Do you know that God limits temptation to what we can resist. God limits temptation to what you are capable and have everything you need built in to resist. Temptation, our text says, cannot be above what you are able to resist. God lets you know that. Don't say that resisting is impossible for you. It's not impossible. With God, all things are possible. And just read and think about this text that I have brought to you within this scripture reading. And go over it three or four times and think about the implications of each thing. God guarantees that you are up to the occasion. His grace is always sufficient for any and all in today's test. But we must find the way of escape. That text instructs us the overall picture, but it doesn't tell you each and every way of escape, but that we must find for ourselves. And when we are tempted, knowing that we cannot be tempted above what we can resist, then a way of escape is assured, but we have to recognize it. This is the divinely prepared escape route. God will always make a way of escape. And this is one of His many and varied ways of showing His love to us, His concern, His care. Escape routes God has furnished for others who were tempted. Remember when Job was in a horrible situation? The hedge has been removed from his life and from the protection of his family. Remember how that and his family, children, was taken? Died. His wealth was destroyed. His body was afflicted with all kind of horrible things that you can imagine your skin might be subject to. Job had all that happen to him. And after having and being in a perfect situation, like you might view yourself now, and think that all things is going so good that nothing could possibly happen. Well, that may be, but it also might be, it might turn out like Job. And so the bottom line is that Job's wife, him being in this horrible condition, she advised him, well, why don't you just curse God and die because of all that had happened to their family, their children, their wealth, their wealth including their animals. And so you can see from a human standpoint, she was to the point that she was ready to give up. She had had enough. And so she said to Job, why don't you just curse your God and die? And Job's reaction to that was, foolish woman. And he wanted her to know that that would be the worst thing that he could do, that God could restore any and all that had been taken, and that he was not going to lose his trust in God. And so that's exactly what he did. he maintained his faith in Yahweh. Did you know that escape routes God has furnished for others who were tempted? And you know today what one of those escape routes might be in whatever you're going through and whatever that temptation might be? You know, one escape route easily could happen. You could receive a timely phone call at a particular point in the temptation. And that phone call could have the right words to encourage you to say no to the temptation and no to the tempter. Did you know God can also, during the very height of this temptation, God can also bring a scripture out of His Word to you in regard to whatever it is that is coming against you? It could be a promise within His Word. But that promise, at that particular moment in time, could be the difference and how you're able to resist whatever the temptation is that's coming at the specific moment. Perhaps it might be the appearance of a helpful person. A person perhaps that you place a lot of confidence in. And that person could just suddenly be there in the midst of that temptation. And so that could be your route of escape, that the Father has promised you that no temptation will come except such as is common to man, and you will be able to resist. You will be able to say no with God's help. On the darkest day, God makes a way. You will be able to endure. And the questions we should ask ourselves today perhaps is, are we enduring temptation? Maybe an ongoing thing. Maybe a short-term thing. Maybe very recent. Maybe very distant. But continuing. Are we in a type of temptation today? Are you near defeat? How would you assess your situation? Has the tempter almost won the battle? Are you near to defeat? Are you about to yield to whatever it is, the tempter? We need to remind ourselves of this message, of this text, of how God provides for us to be able to resist temptation. Our Lord Yeshua faced in temptation and defeated temptation. And He will give strength and grace for you to triumph too. Seek His face. There's no better way to respond to temptation than to go to God for help. Ask Him for the strength. Ask Him for the presence of the Holy Spirit at that particular moment in time. You can defeat temptation. If you would bow with me and stand and let's bow together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for this blessed Sabbath and each one that's here. And Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, that You help us in every way to resist the temptations of life that come, and that way we may be found acceptable in Your sight and do those things that please You. And Heavenly Father, go with us. Bless our families. And keep that hedge of protection around us and our families and our church. And Heavenly Father, be with us always. Let us always find our steps going towards you. And in Yeshua's name we ask, and amen. And let's read the blessing all together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace.